Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and my paradigm shifter today is a oneness blessing giver, a oneness blessing awakening being, wonderful being who I recently attended a class or a, I guess it was a celebration with Sherry Greenstreet. So welcome to our show, Sherry.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for being on. Now, one of the things that we're going to talk about that is so interesting these days is the process of awakening. It's going on all over the world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's picking up like popcorn popping.
Isn't that neat? So what does it really mean, awakening?
Awakening is definitely a change in your perception.
Ah.
When I was declared awakened in India, on October 20th, I wasn't sure exactly what I felt. There was a real emptiness, but we'll have so many people waking up all over the world that really don't even know that awakening has happened, and it's such a natural state for them, they may not realize they're awakened.
So what are some of the clues?
Well, a big clue is that the mind chatter that's always directing your day is not present any longer. That's one of the biggest clues, is that the mind goes silent. It's still present, but it's silent. It's no longer interfering with your day.
Hmm. So is it very quiet in you from now on?
It's very, very quiet, very peaceful. It is our natural state. It is the state that we all, When we showed up here on the planet as humans, it was our natural state. We were in this state, this awakened state all the time, and it's a state that through several series of events we lost, and we're coming back into it with a lot of grace. So many people are beginning to wake up now, and knowing what the state is will help everyone recognize that they're arriving. So the quiet mind is one of the biggest things. And the other is there'll not be any more planning in your life. Everything just happens automatically.
Really?
Yes.
Even
no
our taxes?
No more planning.
Oh, wow. Well, that's exciting. What did you do to get there? And what can the people who are listening, my wonderful listeners, do to get there if they want to be awakened, which I think they do?
I spent the last 2 years in extreme self-reflection.
Okay.
I looked at all the ways that I have been conditioned, and some of that happens in utero, and except for a few of us, most won't be really aware of what that conditioning was. But we are conditioned in utero, and we are conditioned in school, in our religion, in our family life. We're conditioned through relationships. There's so much conditioning that we're living in our lives that
oftentimes, and some of it's actually soul conditioning, isn't it? Like we're already born.
Yes.
Yes.
Some of it's in the DNA, unfortunately. It's passed down from ancestors that didn't quite experience in life what it was they wanted to experience. Disappointment, fears, some of that's passed into our DNA.
Well, it's interesting. When you gave a very wonderful gathering here in Bellingham, we called up the ancestors. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And
yes.
I have to tell you that, and this is for people listening, when Sherry's talking about wakening up from the lineage and the DNA, we did a meditation where we were calling up our ancestors and asking them, what was it we asked them to ask to be freed of it? Is
yes.
that right?
Ask to be free, yes.
And for me, it was a very, very powerful meditation. I was just shaking and buzzing, and it was wonderful. But for the next few days, I was kind of nutso. Very emotional. So I thought that a good example of what you're talking about. Perhaps you could illuminate more of that particular.
On the ancestors?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we don't know how much we're carrying of our ancestors' disappointments and fears and tragedies. It's in that DNA, as I said. So part of the awakening process is asking the ancestors, known or unknown, to ask for their freedom, because like everywhere else, they're subject to the laws of heaven, and that's, you don't get help if you don't ask for it. And at their level, it still holds true. So they need to ask for their freedom. Mm-hmm. And once they've asked for their freedom, ask for their blessings, because to have the ancestors' blessings, and knowing that they've asked for their freedom, it frees us up to let go of that lineage, to let go of the DNA and the traits in us that was passed down that we no longer need. They don't serve any purpose for us anymore.
Often in my work, I call it the tyranny of the subconscious. That's not the way you're talking about it, but awakening seems to be releasing ourselves from these particular conscriptions or these programs, is it?
It's true. It is not necessarily releasing. To me, that's a repeat of something, and we don't want to repeat. But
that's
it is
sure.
A letting go. Huh. It is a surrendering. And just becoming aware. Just becoming aware is 90% of the journey. Becoming aware of your conditioning, becoming aware of the ways we avoid when something or someone triggers a condition in us, a conditioning in us. When that's triggered, we get angry or we get sad or we feel depressed or we feel that somehow we're not good enough. All of that comes from our conditioning. So
go
when
to
we
defense.
Look at the ways we run away, that's important. That's really important. If you want to stop that process, become aware of it. You won't do it again.
So calling up, for example, our ancestors, did you do that sort of thing when you were in your 2 years of self-reflection?
Oh, yes. And when I was in India this last time and I went through some processes at the Oneness University, before I was declared awakened, I went through several really deep processes again with the ancestors. And this time I felt such a clearing. And it showed in my body. It showed in my face. The body became lighter. The face actually softened. And everyone could see that visual change. And I have heard from so many people that have seen me, there is such a physical change in your face.
Because we physically embody that inherited DNA attitude stuff, eh?
Yes, it shows in your body. It shows in your face. It shows in your eyes. All that conditioning. And then, of course, if we run away from things that make us uncomfortable, if that's our habit, we either judge, put it off on someone else, to blame an event for what happens, that's a running away too. Mm-hmm. If we judge and blame or criticize, all of that is avoiding. It is resisting, and it's certainly not surrendering. So what I had to learn to do was identify all the patterns in my life, all the patterns that I have repeated over and over again, because that comes from conditioning that I have run away from every time someone triggers a conditioning in me that makes me uncomfortable and I avoid it or I deny it.
Or you defend against it.
Then that becomes a pattern.
Yeah.
Becomes a pattern. Mm-hmm. And I had to let go. I had to see the patterns. I had to see the conditioning. I had to see the ways that I avoid everything that makes me so uncomfortable.
And so, and that's a very, very difficult process at times, isn't it? I've done some of that myself, actually.
Well, it is if you're not willing to be totally honest.
Mm-hmm.
It takes downright clear integrity. Mm. You have to uncover yourself all the way to the bones.
Mm-hmm.
and be willing to just see it. You don't have to, you can't fix it. It is you. You can't fix it. And to know that, but just see it is all we have to do. That's all we have to do.
And that's really helpful, actually. So let's go back to who Sherry is. And you got involved in the Oneness University, the Oneness Blessing, Ama Bhagavan. When did you do that?
In 2006, I was invited to a Diksha circle in Yelm, Washington. Mm. And
the Ramtha neighborhood.
Yes, the Ramtha neighborhood, uh-huh. Indeed. And I loved the feeling that followed after Diksha. In the beginning, I felt nothing when I received a blessing from people. But as soon as I would go home and try to lie down and go to sleep, my head felt like somebody had plugged it into an electric socket. And I could actually hear a frequency in my head.
Oh, wow.
A buzzing frequency that I relate to being an electrical stimulus that was in my brain. Wow. And I could hear it, and it would go all night long. So I just kept going. I kept going. And then I went to India in 2010 to become a trainer so that I could teach Oneness Awakening classes. And then I have been to a 28-day deepening process. And then most recently, I went back for 2 weeks. And in that two-week period was my date of awakening.
Hmm.
And it was verified there for me. So now I begin a whole new process in life.
What does that look like?
That looks like sharing my experience, my personal experience, what helped me, what was my experience, because awakening is going to be so different for everybody. It's like doing an iris scan or doing a fingerprint. No two people. There's going to be 7 billion different ways to awaken.
Ooh, what a business, eh?
Yes, but just to hear other people talk who have been verified awakened, listening to their stories helped me. It helped me relate to some of the processes they experienced just prior to that moment of awakening and just after. It's like a roadmap for me. It gave me some direction, and I was able to see that some of that other people had reported didn't happen with me.
So tell me, what happened just before your awakening was decided or announced?
Well, I did not go through a period of wanting to give up and feeling stressed and feeling like I was sliding backwards. And several of my friends have been through that. Hmm. Just right up to the moment of awakening, the mind, and it's not our mind, it's this big ancient mind that's been around since human race was formed.
Hmm.
And it's like a mass race consciousness. So every thought, negative action, every positive action, everything that's ever transpired since humans have been around is floating around in this space that I'm calling race consciousness. And that flows through us. Every now and then we think the thoughts are ours, and they're not. We've latched on to them and somehow identify with them, and they're not ours. They belong to that ancient, ancient mind.
Right.
And as you wake up, as you get really, really close to waking up, that ancient mind realizes that you're no longer responding to your conditioning, to your patterns, or to the running away. It's beginning to lose the clutch it has on you, and it will fight back.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people go through, well, some people would describe it as dark night of the soul,
right.
But it's definitely the last stand of that mind.
Hmm.
And I don't feel that I went through that. Now, I've been through some dark nights, but it certainly wasn't the month or two leading up to moments before my awakened state happened. So,
Well, then you went through the awakened state, and then you said it was very different after as well. What was different after?
Well, there's a 6 to 8 week integration period.
Mm-hmm.
After, for me, looks different than many, many people. We're going to have the UPS man that delivers your package just suddenly wake up very, very shortly. A lot of people will wake up on December 21st when there's a huge shift in consciousness happening.
And it's contagious, isn't it, Sherry?
It is. Just being in the presence of an awakened being, mm-hmm. your brain waves, as you're in the presence and you're listening to them speak, your brainwave begins to match their brainwave.
So it's a resonance, what do they call it, coherence?
Yeah, I think, yes, where the waves actually sync together.
Mm-hmm.
And as those waves sync together, then when I follow that by giving a diksha with this person, looking into their eyes, just being present with them in either way, there is a transference of this awakened energy. And when the brain is in that state, it is so clearly pushing that person that I'm with closer to awakening, closer to self-realization. A lot of things begin to come up for people.
Now, when you were talking about the electronic part of your brain,
yes,
you're talking about your when we do the diksha, and I do oneness blessings as well.
Yes.
But when we do that, that is actually getting that electronic buzz stuff you were talking about, getting it going in people's brains.
Yes. This is definitely not. I know some people perceive anything to do with an avatar or a leader as a religion. And
right.
For one, oneness never was meant to be, never will be a religion. We have an avatar that has come strictly to give awakening. That's all they're here for. Sri Rama Bhagwan only came for this. Started 800 years ago. It's been a process of building mankind up to where we were ready. 2,000 years ago, we were not ready.
No.
Now it's the time and we're ready. But what this is strictly a neurobiological shift in the brain.
That we're consciously doing or evoking thanks to Bhagavan.
With our Diksha blessings, what we're doing is opening the way for that to happen. Slowly, receiving the Dikshas gives our brain a beginning of feeling that awakened state. Slowly, the brain is beginning to shift from less of the parietal lobes to more of the frontal lobes activating. And when the switch is flipped at the actual moment of our awakening, and we cannot cause that, the divine actually is here to do that for us. It is a state of grace, and it is a switch that takes approximately 3-minute process to flip it. And when that happens, our brain shifts completely, which affects our DNA, and immediately our DNA begins to shift.
And it's a 3-minute process. Do you mean that when people place their hands on someone else's head, they should hold them there for 3 minutes?
No, because that is not an awakening diksha.
Oh, okay.
That is a diksha blessing, which okay. initiates the process of awakening in a person.
Kind of
it only
primes
initiates
the
process. It will not, well, I can't say it will not awaken people because we have had an awakened trainer that came back from India and gave her blessing giver friend a blessing at home. Her friend woke up.
Oh, wow.
Totally awakened.
Wow.
She, in turn, went to another friend and gave her the Diksha blessing. And
wow.
She woke up. And we were told about that when I was there in October this year in India. That was the first time that it was proven and known that these people actually did wake up from receiving the blessing when this awakened trainer came home.
Now, were they U.S. people? Like, were they in the Western
no,
culture?
No, I don't believe that they weren't U.S. people, no. Yeah. They were,
I keep hearing about our mind is a little bit harder to shake, right?
Well, and that's why it takes grace to actually flip the switch. It is a God source. We're ready for this process. We're being returned to our natural state of grace.
Mm-hmm.
We really are being returned. We can't flip that switch. We can go into very deep awakening states, Mm-hmm. And I was. After I came home from my first deepening, for 2 years, I was in a really deep state. And I know many people who are going in and out of those deep states. But what happens is you're aware that you slide backwards. Somebody triggers a response in you. You feel something coming up, and it boils up, and you explode, or you get angry, or you go back to controlling something, or you go back to worrying, and you're out of that state suddenly. And you really want that state back. So,
and that boiling up is old stuff coming to the surface? Is that what it is?
All of it. It wouldn't be coming up if you were not ready to see it and not run away from it. It's like the tiger walking right up to you, an 800-pound tiger walking right up to you and drooling and looking you in the eyes. What are you going to do? You're going to run, or do you just let it eat you?
Ew.
And as they say in India, what are you running for? This is your awakening. You want it. So stop running. Stop resisting. And surrender. Totally surrender.
So when you bring up, when I went through that ancestors thing, and I was kind of goofy for a couple of days, I was very emotional, really feeling tragic about past things and so on. So the idea is you just bring it up and really let it be and surrender to it, or...
Yeah, just see
it. Will be
no
taken.
More resistance.
It'll
you
be taken.
Yes, you can't do anything to change it. All you can do is see it and see what's happening in yourself.
So that's the same as, you know, years ago we learned that, for example, the collective shame in humanity, it
yes.
can't just be dumped. There has to be help. There has to be divine help for that.
Well, you... For me, I was willing to experience everything that I had run from.
Okay.
Once it's experienced, it's done. It's over, and it just melts away. Most of us run away from the experience because we don't like how it makes us feel. It makes us feel worse.
Yeah, you betcha.
But I got to a point where I stood my ground with the tiger. And just said, eat me. I did. I said, look, I don't know how to surrender. I'm not good at that. I'm a really controlling, manipulating person. I know how to run my life right. And I don't let anyone else run it because I know the best way to do it. So it was very difficult for me to learn what surrender was and to stop resisting because I've spent my life in resistance. I've spent my life resisting relationships. I've spent my life resisting people I don't like. I've spent my life resisting my having anything to do with how my life has transpired.
Huh. So what's happened in your life since then? Then, like when you say surrender, I think I understand that. It's a very, there's a subtle depth to it, isn't there? Like, it's maybe not just what I'm thinking. It's much deeper, isn't it?
And have you
gotten into a relationship since then? You know what I mean?
It is so deep. Surrendering and not resisting anything. And this is what I'm telling people. No matter what experience comes up for you today, don't resist it. Now, that's hard to do because the mind right away has a story and begins to go in the back of your mind saying, oh, no, that person was really rude to me, and my boss treated me wrong, and that's just not right. There's always a story there. But what I'm saying is, that's resistance.
Mm.
So the mind's using you, and at this point, we want to use the mind. It stays until there is not a body and there is not a brain. The mind won't go away until we're enlightened. And that comes later when there is no mind present. Mm. That's much farther up the road for most of us. But the minute you let mind come in with a story about what you're perceiving in the moment, you have already gone into resistance, and you are certainly not surrendering.
So when the resistance comes up, it's often associated with some pretty complex emotions, is it not?
Yes, and it comes from our conditioning. Beliefs about ourselves, beliefs about this world, beliefs about God.
So when we bring them up and we just let them be and we let them come through us, where's the where's the surrender part? Is that the surrender or is there a new level?
The surrender part is not making a story out of it this time.
Okay.
Just seeing what comes up, seeing that we are charged or triggered by some action or some event. But this time, we're going to see that we're being charged or triggered by a person or an event. We're going to feel horrible in our chest and bodies. There may be a sweat on your forehead, but this time you're going to stay with what you see. You're not going to make a story out of it by saying, oh, that's wrong. We're not judging it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to judge it. You're just going to allow it. Allowing what comes up without judgment, without fear, and this time standing your ground. And when we do that, slowly we're untangling ourselves from this mind that has us in a grip like an octopus.
So if the UPS guy is getting awakened and he hasn't been to India and he hasn't done his ancestral calling forth and he still is in resistance sometimes, I'm making an assumption here.
Yes.
Are you saying that the contagion of this or evoking of this awakening and this vibrational evolution is still going to hit people even if they haven't done their work?
Oh, my goodness, yes, because this is the time for it. Mm-hmm. We're going into the golden age. Everyone's going to wake up on this planet. Now, it may be 2020, 2030 before every last being on this planet is awakened. Not everybody. There won't be a mass awakening of everybody on the planet. It is speeding up. What was seen was much farther out to like 2030 maybe, but everything is happening so much faster now that nobody really knows. But yes, our UPS man who hasn't even considered that he's walking around a product of all his conditioning. He's reacting to everyone and everything in his day or her day, reacting. That person's going to wake up. They will wake up with all their conditioning intact, probably all their personalities, because we have several. For every job we do, we have a personality.
Oh,
and a lot of them we don't need anymore. They just aren't serving any purpose. But when you wake up on the street and you haven't done any self-realization work on yourself, mm-hmm. you just wake up at a little bit lower level.
Mm.
Everybody will wake up, but it's like a 100-story building. And some people will wake up at floor 2. Some people will wake up at floor 10. Some people will just wake up at floor 1. Hmm. We have our avatars, the Buddha, the our last Christ, over floor 100.
Hmm.
And enlightenment is like floor 70. So everybody's going to wake up. It'll be a different levels and a different experience for everyone. But to have some of this self-realization done on the side before you awaken
mm-hmm.
is so much better because you will awaken at a higher level.
Mm.
If you have let go and if you have honestly seen and accepted yourself as you are, that's the hard part, is just accepting yourself with love as you are now.
Mm.
And that you can't change that. There's nothing we can do to make our awakening happen any faster, but to see ourselves as we truly are, that will speed things up for us.
Hmm. What happened to your family when you went through all this? Is it contagious in your home as well?
Yes, it is contagious. Yes, for those people who are married, I have seen two that I'm aware of who have awakened and gone home, and shortly, not long after that period, their spouse is awakened. Because you're living and trained in those brain waves
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's so clearly helpful. And that's why I believe that the word is out to go and listen to awakened beings talking as much as you can, or to watch on the internet all these free oneness meditations, and all these oneness meditators will shortly all be awakened. We already have some awakened, and there is a process going on for these oneness meditators, calling them over to India to put through a special process so that they all will be awakened, because it's important for what they do. They're so much more effective as awakened oneness meditators. Now, the big issue is everybody says, well, I don't feel like I want to go to India. Do I really have to go to India?
I was just going to ask you that.
Get past all this. No. Oh. Heavens, no. I would say smaller than 1% of this entire world feels the connection or the drive or the passion to go through these deepening courses. And you'll know, because it'll be in your heart. It'll be a drive and a passion that says, this is it, this is where I need to be, this is what I need to do, and I'm going. And for those people, the way will manifest and they'll get there. They'll be over at Oneness University going through this. But
and the money will show up.
And it will, because it did for me. Mm-hmm. It did for me.
Well, I want to go. What about children? You have children, don't you?
I have four, yes.
Well,
I
that's
have four.
Quite a few.
Yes, yes. Well, I have two that I adopted in China, and then I have two biological sons. So I now have two girls, two boys, and they are shifting right along with me. And it's a nice process to see.
Did they change radically when you awakened? Like
I when I came to Washington to do the events out there and met you, I had a friend who had come here to Denver for our oneness meditation in August, where we had 9 oneness meditators on the stage at one time.
Mm-hmm.
She came out here and she stayed with me and got to meet my daughters, and she had met them while I was living in Washington, but she hadn't been around them for the year I've lived here back in Denver. And when she saw me out there in Bellingham, she said, what a change. What a change in your daughters. She noticed right away. And of course, I could say, yes, I see a change. But mm-hmm. to me, to have someone on the outside looking in and saying, wow, I see it. I knew your daughters when you lived out here. I saw them when I came in August.
Mm-hmm.
And one was in extreme distress. And they're 16. So they're going through 16-year-old issues. And she just said, there is such a lifting up in her. Her countenance has changed. She's shifted instead of negative and
rebellious or
sulky.
Something.
Well, there was never a rebellious, but just sulky and moody. And she said, no, I'm seeing her laugh. I see a sparkle in her eyes. So it's like it ignited a spark in her.
Wow.
And or it flamed a spark that's always been there is probably the more appropriate way to say that. And that it's just blossoming. It's blossoming. So,
isn't that wonderful? What about your grandchild?
Oh, I give her Diksha when she's sleeping. because she says it tickles her head.
And how old
so
is she?
So she puts her hand up there and rubs my hand away, and I'm not touching her. I just put my hands over the top of her head. And it tickles her so much when she's with me, because she's part-time with my youngest son, who's temporarily with me getting back on his feet. So when his daughter, when he has his daughter, and she sleeps upstairs where I sleep, and I will go in the morning and wake her up. Before I wake her up, I give her Diksha. And of course, I'm setting this intent for her awakened, you know, to be now awakened. So every opportunity that I can give her Diksha where she's more in her mind and she's not paying attention. And of course, intention Diksha works with everyone.
Well, how old is your daughter, granddaughter?
My granddaughter's 5.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Is it dangerous for them? Can they cope with life, their other aspects of their life, if they awaken?
Oh, of course, and so much easier. There's no more conflict in your life, no personal suffering.
Uh-huh.
There's no fear. There's no need to plan. Everything's automatic. I don't have choices. I automatically know when it comes to doing something what needs to be done, and I do it. I don't have a process where I have to decide between this way or that way.
Well, now,
I automatically know.
Is she experiencing that as well?
Well, I'm watching all the kids very closely to see, and the only conversation we have is the only thing she likes about school is the playground.
Oh.
So we do have talks about that. So.
Well, and also you said earlier your relationships didn't work. Have you got a relationship since you awakened?
Oh, no. But for the last 2 years, I put out to the universe very clearly, look, until I'm in the right place, because I know that you draw like to you. You do. That's just a law of the universe. And it's like, I'm done with that. I've tried that so many times. Let's don't do that anymore.
Let's not resonate with the answer.
No. So I really put the word out very clearly. Look, don't even send me anyone. I want to be clear. I really, because there is no hope for me with a relationship where I am in my consciousness until I have dealt with all the skeletons in my closet.
In your DNA closet, hey?
Well, and I did say after that, bug one, look, if there is out there in this universe like-minded soul who is for my highest purposeful good, great. I now am ready to accept that love. I now am in a space that I'm willing to open my heart again. But it must be a person that has also done this work,
mm-hmm.
that is also clear, that is also awakened.
Mm-hmm. And consciously awakening, huh?
Yes, so, it must be. No more skeletons in closets. When I'm talking to people, I know right away if I'm talking to mind or if I'm speaking with their divine.
Let's talk about each person's divine. I love that part of Bhagavan's teachings. Have been very, some of them are really ancient, but they're really, really wonderful, aren't they?
They really are. The way I see it, and I had a little trouble when I got into oneness, and then I saw the Srimurti with Sri Ama Bhagwan on it, and I realized in India, because
for people who don't know, that's a photograph of Ama and Bhagwan, right?
Yes, okay. And it's really multidimensional. It's not a photograph, actually. It is their presence. And in the beginning, I didn't understand really the presence. I have a Western mind. I may have had many, many instances of Eastern in my past life. I'm clear about that. But I am very clearly Western now. And when it was explained to me that I should develop a personal, very personal and intimate relationship with my own divine, and that this is what the Indians use as their personal divine, the photograph of the Sri Ama Bhagwan. And I'm thinking, well, that's not personal for me. It's not easy for me to relate to this. But now, the way I look at it is that the divine source, God, whatever you wish to call it, the source creator of all things living in all galaxies and all universes, creates all of us, because we were part of that source. And at one moment, we made a group decision that God will re-experience itself through us. And we formed all these different beings in all these different dimensions and universes and galaxies, and we all look different, we all sound different, and yet what it is we're all a cell from Source. We're all individual cells that have split off. This made it easy for me to relate to that Srimurti and say, okay, a cell of the divine has split off and become an avatar. And this avatar has only one purpose here. He doesn't do other things. They don't do all they came to do was give mukti, freedom from the mind for humanity, for the race. And that's it. That's why they're here. And they will leave when it's done. It's already been clear. They're not hanging around. They don't want to be worshipped. When we're all free and we're God-realized, because that's the next step. Once we're all awakened, we become God-realized.
So God-realized means being living through the infinite divine within each of us?
Yeah, being one with everything, where you don't feel where I start and you stop. We see oneness in everything. That's a state we're all going into next. Definitely. So when I look at the divine source creator as all of us coming from that, and we're all a cell, so we all contain source creator in us, which makes us all the same, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're not really different. It doesn't matter what galaxy we come from or what dimension. We all come from the source creator that created every galaxy, every dimension, everything created. We're all cells from that same source. So we're really all the same. We're just entertaining ourselves with different bodies and different languages and
different karma.
Everything. We're all going through different stories to take these experiences back to the divine, which is where we will all finally end up. Back to source. That's home. And we all eventually will go back to source. Now, once you awakened, the wheel of life, that wheel that the Buddhists have, stops spinning. You have stopped it from spinning. Your karma stops.
How thrilling. That's called liberation, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to put a picture, a face, instead of Bhagwan. I said, I love you dearly, Sriyama Bhagwan. You're beautiful, and you are the epitome of what the divine would look like if I was an Indian, you know? Definitely. So we were encouraged to make our own divine.
Right.
Make my own face, my own divine. And I have a beautiful Nordic goddess that just came to me in India. I said, that's cool. I can go with that. So she is my personal divine. And I carry them all in my heart. Now I can relate to the divine on a personal level.
Ah, and so you made friends with it.
I did, and I internalized it. And now I can see that I am that divine. I am her. She is now me. I had a vision before my awakening of my body unzipping from the head down to the toes with this huge metal zipper, and the body fell to the ground, and there was nothing inside. Nothing.
Oh, gosh.
And then my divine, which just appeared at that moment as a huge, bright light, golden light, walked right into the space. And the body came up over it and zipped up.
Oh, how wonderful, huh?
So we are the divine. We are a cell of the divine having a human experience.
That's so wonderful. I just want to say this to people listening as well, that I had some resistance to seeing the Shri Murthy. Yeah, the pictures.
Yes.
And I don't do gurus and all that sort of thing. But as as I learned, I was a blessing giver and we were doing Diksha, I was so conscious that whenever I began connecting to Amma Bhagwan, the incredible energy that comes through, I go, oh my gosh, they're doing a big job from India over here to Bellingham. My goodness, and all over the world. It's really hard not to just, know something about divinity from that.
Yes, yes.
I just had to throw that story in.
Yes, well, and a lot of people in the West do have an issue with that in the beginning. And for our oneness meditations, you notice we don't even put that out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that the Western mind loves anything it can latch onto and resist. It just loves it. It's good at the resistance.
Well, because
we're taught it all our lives.
We're taught to be such strong individualists, aren't we?
Exactly.
And isn't their teaching all about you finally end up with no self? You're beyond self, right?
Yes, and that's scary to some people.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
it's incomprehensible.
Hmm? It is. It's the fear of the unknown that just seems to come up. And, of course, that comes from the mind, too. I'm not saying your mind or my mind. It comes from the mind.
Yes,
the fear of the unknown, the fear of not existing. And that's why the mind makes a last stand just before your awakening. It's a test. It doesn't want to declutch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So tell me, are they doing any, I love what you're talking about, but I want to throw everything in before we are finished here. What about our government or our big systems that are all shaking and telling their deceptions and so on? Do you see anybody, do you know any people that are in there doing Diksha with those people and having them waken up and be a part of this whole thing? Because to me that seems to be how the systems could change, right?
They'll have to shift too. There's no choice anymore. The planet's going, Mother Earth is ascending. All living beings will ascend in different times as they choose, just like awakening.
So what does ascend mean to you? Does that mean the shifting of the frequencies?
It's an internal shift, as I've just had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a physical shift because it's the first ascension where everyone's taking their bodies with them this time.
Hmm.
So it is the very first time. And it's important to know that this happens, and it's going to happen for everyone where they are, exactly where they are. You don't have to go over to India to go through classes to do this. Everyone has a date for their awakening. It's in, if you want to call it the cosmic or the Akashic records, it's there. Mm. And we set our own dates eons ago when we first said that we would incarnate on this planet.
Mm.
No one is on this planet by accident if they're here right now. We chose to be here. We're the strongest of our genetic line. We chose to do this work of clearing our genetic line so that we can all ascend.
Mm-hmm.
And we have chosen to provide service to help the ascension of the planet and of the human race here, and of all of nature, of course, humanity and all that's on the planet. We wanted to be of service, and it's actually a distinguished opportunity for us to have been given the chance to be here. Not everyone was given the chance, so...
Mm-hmm.
You are so much more than you believe yourself to be,
mm-hmm.
is the biggest point to know, is that you are a bright, bright light, and you are so great. There is so much of divinity in us, and we just aren't letting that light shine.
Well, we just don't trust, do we? Didn't Bhagavan say that there was a huge, what I can't remember what he called it, but a huge download of... golden light, God light or something coming up?
On the 21st, it is a tremendous consciousness shift, and I expect that to show with our governments. Little by little, we see people resigning.
Okay.
And we see new people coming in. And many of those new people are temporary. They've agreed temporarily to come in until... humanity has made their shift consciously, and we can all agree who we want running our governments of the world. But you're not hearing a lot because of our sweet media who loves to keep things to a minimum.
Secrets.
of course. But it'll all come out. It can't be hidden. And by the 21st, there will be a tremendous consciousness shift on this planet. It will affect everyone right where they are. And on, of course, December 12th, the feminine feminine energies come back in 26,000, 33,000 years ago, we shifted to a patriarchal male energy, which has inundated the planet, and we've lived in that now for that many thousands of years. And the feminine now on the 12th comes in and shifts. That is like a gateway, it is like a gateway opening up. It's letting in energy that this planet has not experienced in that many thousands of years. And I'm not an expert, so whether it's 26,000 or 33,000 years ago, that's minimal. But it's been that long since the feminine, the divine feminine energies have had a place on this planet.
So it must be happening already. I mean, if it's every 26,000 years, it probably doesn't turn on a pin, right? It must be already happening, coming through, hey?
Of course it filters through, but the actual shift itself, it's like passing the baton, you know, in the mm-hmm. Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
We're passing from the male to the female now.
Yeah.
Because we're all both anyway. We're all both. It's like Sri Yama Bhagwan, who in their previous incarnations never split into male-female. It was one being since 800 years ago until this life, this incarnation. They split because this time of ascension and awakening is all about relationships. It's the first time we didn't go into a cave and sit for 50 years to get awakened. We're all awakening through our relationships.
Or the cave is in ourselves right now, isn't it?
Well, or we're in that cave in ourselves. We need to come out. We need to come out and see the reality, see what's really there.
We need to wake up. Yeah.
Yes, but our governments will shift. There's not anything that will change that. The governments are all shifting now, and there'll be an even greater shift after the 21st. And, of course, with that change, there'll be many other changes.
So that's what the ending means. I keep saying to people, it is a shift in consciousness, not the end of the world.
Even NASA came out yesterday. I had to laugh when someone showed me. They're now saying, you have to know that the world is not going to end because our scientists have looked out there in the heavens and we don't see anything that's going to end this. Yeah, I had to laugh at that one.
Did you run in and give them a oneness blessing?
Oh, my God. NASA knows so much more than they tell us anyway. It's just, I couldn't believe that they had the audacity. But they're right. I mean, the world was never meant to end. It's a consciousness shift. It's a paradigm shift.
It's exciting.
Oh, and we are here at exciting times, and we're the chosen ones.
Isn't it wonderful?
We are the ones who were chosen to enable this.
We chose ourselves by the sounds of things, did we?
Well, or you got pushed and shoved and by all the ancestors.
Resisting.
Said, no, you're the one that can do this. We can't. You know?
Oh,
but either way,
we're
the ones who had to set our date for our awakening so that we would wake up. And
so can we access our own date for awakening if we just go into meditation?
Yes, I'm sure that you could.
Okay, I'm going to do
that. I'm not into my mystical awareness enough for me to go and visit my Akashic record at will. But yes, for those who can, you set your own date. Nobody set it for you. Source, Creator, did not set that date. You did. And your divine did. That's when I'm saying you set that date, I am speaking about your divine. It's the divine in you who at the time decided to incarnate here and take these bodies like avatars and live through the avatars. So you set your date. So of course, that divine in you knows that date, but it really doesn't matter. Just know that the date's there. Your awakening will happen.
And we're all going to awaken, right, Sherry?
We all are. We all are. So stop fretting. Stop trying to make it happen so much. One more book, one more class is not going to awaken you. It is an actual neurobiological process that the divine actually does.
Wonderful.
For
and
us.
We have to draw to a close, but you're so delightful. We could go on for days. And how can people, can you give people some of the ways of being either in touch with you or catching your own blessings or your
awakening? Oh, of course, of course. Well, because I'm not a oneness meditator, I said, oh, please, Bhagwan, I'm more of a teacher. I'm don't sit very well still for a while. Please let me be a teacher. So, but they are beginning now to put awakened people on the live streams.
Great.
So, I think Noni Kaufman's site out of Austin, that's something good to give people.
I love her site. It's nonikaufman.com, and it gives you a whole listing of who's going to be radiating this incredible.
And she will list. Mm-hmm. She will list on her site when the awakened people will be under a global site that will show the awakened ones that will all be on screen at the same time. So it's all listed there. That's a great site. My site had to change when I was confirmed awakened. And it's in the process of awakening, too. That's what my web designer put up. I loved it. I had to laugh. And I said, really, my site's awakening, too? So anyway, www.oneness.america.com.
Oneness.america.com.
Yes. And I am at, my email is sherry@oneness.america.com.
And Sherry, if we watch all these things on the computer, including you, can we actually achieve awakening or can we?
Yes. There is a woman here in Colorado, actually. She and I talk a lot together at events. She's here in Denver with me. And she went to the Oneness Meditation in August in Denver where we had 9 people. And it affected her so much. She started going through the awakening states, consciousness shifting. And this was the 9th or the 10th of August. And by September, she had already been confirmed awakened.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's a blessing giver. She's not a trainer. She's a blessing giver who just happened to attend in person Oneness Meditation. And that shift began in her. And I have to laugh because we have totally opposite awakening experiences. Mine was a meat grinder of self and ego, not wanting to fight this to the end, of course. And hers, she actually went to bed one night and woke up awakened.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's what's going to happen to all of you. I mean, you don't have to go to India to do this. It's automatic. It's going to happen. And I just laugh at her when we go talk to people because they ask for our experiences. And it's like, you need to listen to this other woman because she's exactly what most people are going to be. Just one day, the awakening is going to happen. That switch will be flipped and you'll be going about your day. And suddenly you'll realize that things are different in your life.
Well, I guess it depends on our personality and our resistances. And we have to say goodbye.
Oh, okay.
With much, much gratitude and much love. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening to
our Paradigm Shift. Blessings and happy awakening. And dance away on the 12th and dance away on the 21st. I'm going to be in Sedona on the 21st.
Wonderful.
They have a big awakening party going on there. And so just please, everybody know your dates there and it's going to happen. Just try to do some self-realization before so you land a little higher up on the floors of the awakened.
Good advice. Thank you. Thank you. And blessings as
love.
We go through all these changes, Sherry.
Love. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.